Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have David Ubben from The Athletic coming up at 7:30, talking all things college football. Looking forward to that with him. Charles Robinson for his weekly visit from Yahoo Sports, talking all things NFL. We'll have him from 8 to 8:30 today on the show, and I know that Charles is very excited that Rex Road is off vacation. We talked about that last week, so looking forward to that.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't wait to hear. I want to hear more about Treylon Burks, superstar.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that, too. We'll get into that coming up at 8 o'clock with Charles. Speaking of all things NFL, it's a pretty interesting time for the running backs right now, and three guys in particular kind of stand out to me heading into this season, and all three of them are in pretty different spots. First off, there's the Saquon Barkley front and the tag that the Giants are trying to get him signed to. He wants a longer-term deal, obviously. And the deadline to strike that longer-term deal is coming up. It's on Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And Diana Russini from ESPN put this out there yesterday. Quote, "As we near the deadline for the Giants and Saquon Barkley to strike a long-term deal, I'm told the two sides remain at a stalemate. The deadline to strike a long-term deal is Monday at 4 o'clock. Saquon Barkley has made it clear that the franchise tag is undesirable. I'm told his availability for week one against the Dallas Cowboys will be in serious question if he does not get a long-term deal from the Giants." So that's what Diana Russini had to put out there yesterday. So it's interesting, Joe. Like, we saw, and we've had discussions about this with Derrick Henry and how important he is to the Titans. I think we saw how important Saquon Barkley is to the Giants last year when he was back, he was healthy, he was available the whole season. I mean, he put on a clinic against the Titans in week one last year, and there were several games that Saquon Barkley was the difference maker for the Giants. So Daniel Jones has already gotten the big deal this offseason, and they've signed him, and they have not made that commitment yet to Saquon Barkley for a long-term deal. So even with Barkley, and I think the value we saw from him last year, Joe, just to kind of underscores how tough it is out there for running backs right now trying to get that long-term deal.
Yeah, and man, I mean, we've talked about it some, and obviously there's a guy here who, you know, I mean, at his age, Derrick Henry, that, you know, these guys are like, you know, 26, 27, and people are talking about, I mean, it's like basically like you can't even count on a second contract if you're a great player, you know? And the problem, of course, with the tag, I mean, a lot of positions in the NFL, it's like, well, okay. You know, that's the average of the, what, top three? Do I have that correct?
I believe so.
You know, at your position. Okay. I mean, at least you're going to get a good number that year. No one likes it, but at least there's compensation in that year. But, you know, the average of the top three at that position is, again, it's like there's been no inflation. There's been outrageous inflation everywhere else. And you know, like Chris Johnson's deal with the Titans would still look pretty good today. That's just crazy. So, and again, I just feel like it should not be. It's like there were a lot of people, even in this town, screaming, "Don't pay the running back," when Derrick Henry came up for his deal. It's like, no, you got to look at the specific situation. How stupid would it have been to not pay Derrick Henry back then?
I
know. It was absolutely the right move. And again, paying, quote unquote, I'm saying paying him. Again, it's running back dollars, which is still incredibly low, I think, compared to what it should be with some players. I mean, Saquon Barkley, to me, that team is, that's a, I mean, I can make a case that's a 3-4 win difference. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I think he makes a huge difference. And I think especially the difference with Derrick Henry and some of these guys is that obviously Derrick Henry, you know, he's worked hard to be a little bit more in the passing game, but he's never going to be, he never has been, never will be, you know, a huge part of the passing game. But a guy like Saquon Barkley can do everything. And some of these other guys too. I mean, Cook, Obviously, a guy like McCaffrey is valued, but it's crazy to see what's happened. I'm very interested to see, like, is Barkley bluffing here? I wouldn't advise, you know, missing games. I wouldn't advise. I mean, you have such a limited time frame, and this is what the team knows. Like, you can't afford to do this, right? And we all know what happened with Le'Veon Bell. It did not go well for him.
Yeah. Well, and then there are two other guys that stand out that their future is pretty interesting to me right now. Both of them are 27 years old. Dalvin Cook still out there as a free agent after being released by Minnesota. And Ezekiel Elliott still out there as a free agent after being released by the Dallas Cowboys. Both of them 27 years old. I think in two different spots. Look, I think there's significant interest in Dalvin Cook and what he could bring. I just don't think the money has been where he wants it to be yet. And we'll see whether or not that changes or what he settles for. I actually think, and a lot of people have talked about this, I think him on the Dolphins would be a really good fit, but we'll see what happens and whether or not that happens. Yeah. I don't know how much interest is out there for Elliott. Yeah. Like I've just not heard a lot of teams are lining up to bring Ezekiel Elliott into the program. Now, again, we're still a couple weeks out from training camp, and those things can change pretty quickly, but I've heard way more about teams being interested in Dalvin Cook than I have Ezekiel Elliott at this point.
Well, I think Elliott is more an example of, I mean, this is the timeline because he does look like he, you know, the time and the workload, even though it's not a ton of time, it has been a ton of workload, has caught up with him, you know. So Barnwell for ESPN had a piece about the plight of the running back. So the only Elliott's only back to rack up 350 touches consecutively since 2014. He did it in 18 and 19. Of course, obviously, you know, Derrick Henry in terms of carries. Here's a stat from this piece, really interesting. From 1978, interesting starting point, that's right around, you know, Walter Payton coming in the league, to 2010, 4.2 backs per season in the league, averaged 20 rushes per game. Since 2010, a total of 12 have done that, okay? And only two have pulled it up in the past 5 years. Those are both Derrick Henry, 20 rushes per game. So, you know, like the lead back model and all that stuff's going away. You know, most teams want to have two backs and they split the work and all that stuff. And if that's the case, well, you know, then it used to be teams, everybody has to have your star running back. Who is your running back? You know, the Cleveland Browns had 2,000-yard rushers and Kevin Mack and Ernest Byner. You know, it's so different. But still, when you have great players like a Barkley, like a Henry, I think they should be viewed differently. Elliott, to me, is, I think, a classic example of, like, this. Is, the time frame is short. And Pollard, he's just more explosive than him.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I don't think Elliott is – I think Elliott's going to be on a – yeah, he's going to be somewhere, but it's – a diminished role, and I think it probably is quickly fading for him.
Well, and by the way, Leonard Fournette is still out there and is available too. So think about this
and
discussion.
He's still pretty effective.
He is. Like, think about this discussion 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where you would say, hey, in the summer of 2023, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott will both have been released. Leonard Fournette will also be a free agent, and Saquon Barkley can't get a long-term deal signed with the Giants. Like, just think about having that conversation a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you told me that at the time, you know, like, I would, like, again, I'd believe the Elliott thing because it does, like, a lot of backs, like, they, like, I think Derrick Henry already is bucking, you know, the norms.
Agreed.
You know? Now, you know, guy like Frank Gore bucked it over and over again. You know, Elliott's going to fall into that category. But, yeah, the Barkley thing, to me, it's just, it's sad because he just take the title away. You know, just don't call him a running back. I remember Le'Veon Bell said that back with the Steelers. Like, I don't want to be called a running back. I'm an offensive weapon. Right. You just, you know, put OW. Don't put RB next to my name. Put OW because it just costs all of us. I mean, like, Saquon Barkley is a great player.
He is. The one thing about him is he's been hurt a lot.
That's true.
Like, he got hurt in 2019. He missed three games then. He missed basically the whole year in 2020. He only played two games. He got hurt in 2021. He missed four games then. Now, last year, he was healthy. He played in 16 of the 17 games, ran for 1,300 yards. caught 57 passes out of the backfield last year. I mean, he was everything they hoped he would be.
That's the thing. Because he had, you're right. I mean, that's obviously on that side of the table, you bring that up a lot. But, I mean, if I'm Barkley and his age, it's like, okay, bad luck. It's too bad, but just showed you. We can stay healthy, go through a whole season, be effective, help us win a playoff game.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they just made the playoffs and won a playoff game when he was healthy in that way. And look, Daniel Jones looked better. Brian Daboll, I think, is obviously a really good coach, and he does great things with quarterbacks. I still watched Daniel Jones play last year, and I saw him a couple times up close when he played the Titans and when he played the Packers over in London. And he's okay. Like, he made some good plays. Yeah. But Saquon Barkley was the reason they won both of those games, the Packers and the Titans game.
Right.
So,
take him away. Seriously, take him. I think you're going playoff to non-playoff. So how much does that matter to you?
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the running back position. Still some high-level names out there and available at running back in the NFL. We'll get your thoughts on that. And the NFL has made a decision on who's going to be subjected to hard knocks coming up in training camp, too. And it's going to be interesting. We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is headed to Fat Bottom Brewery at 844th Avenue North in Nashville tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 6. Come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free Sounds, Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix tickets, or concert tickets as well. Also get signed up for the grand prize Titans tickets, Preds tickets, and the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Sound Waves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the running back position in the NFL, Saquon Barkley going through a contract dispute with the Giants, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott still out there and available on the open market. Jabari Martin on YouTube says, problem with Saquon, what if the Giants take the same franchise money and give a one-year deal to Dalvin Cook? Cook, I'm sure, would take it. Barkley isn't reading the room very well. This is from Jabari Martin on YouTube.
I don't know, man. I mean, I suppose. That's an interesting thought. But
I mean, there's been stuff out there about maybe the Vikings trying to go back and bring Dalvin Cook back in, which I just think would be weird. But seen it out there.
That would be weird. I don't know, man. I'm a Barkley believer. And I agree. You always have to worry about health if someone has health history, but man, I think he's such a difference maker for their team. But this is taking advantage of the RB in front of the name.
Joanna in Donaldson says, name a team that picked up a running back 2/3 of the way through their career who took a team far in the playoffs. Zero. This is from Joanna in Donaldson.
Is that true? Are you sure? I don't know. I mean, nothing comes off the top of my head. I mean, there's definitely been, like, the Cowboys got an entire dynasty sent to them for Herschel Walker going to the Vikings. I think the Vikings did, get to the playoffs a time or two with Herschel Walker on their team, but certainly it turned out to be an incredibly good trade for Dallas and an incredibly bad one for Minnesota.
I mean, I guess
are you sure that's never happened?
I mean, I guess is Leonard Fournette 2/3 of the way through his career? Because, I mean, he played in Jacksonville 3 years and then Tampa Bay picked him up and they won a Super Bowl. Now, obviously they had Brady and they had a defense.
That's the thing. But running backs anymore, like 2 years is 2/3 of
exactly,
your career.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that
I mean, right now, Leonard Fournette's a free agent. Nobody signed him to this point. He's 28 years old, but I mean, right now, halfway through his career, somebody picked him up and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
You got to adjust that. Yeah, I do too. But actually, now that you said this, now I need to – let's see. When was he – yeah. All right, I got one for you. Now we're going to go back. We're going to go back to one of my favorite all-time teams and players. My guy Johnny Riggins, okay?
Yes.
John Riggins was a rookie with the Jets in 71. He was a dominant Super Bowl champion running back in 1982 for Washington, so – so there you go. We have to go back 40 years, but I got an answer for you.
I mean, I think – see, Joanna in the text says took their team far in the playoffs. Now, Leonard Fournette didn't take his team far in the playoffs. He was very good in the playoffs that year. But they had Brady in that defense. John Riggins took his team far.
John Riggins was the centerpiece of that offense. And by the way, that was the Air Coryell offense, but just with the Hogs and a dominant power back and great receivers. But, you know, it worked out well. I wish we could go back to the early 80s. And all these running backs would be getting paid.
They would. I had another texter on the text line throw out, what about Marshawn Lynch? I mean, he played in Buffalo for the first part of his career and then was in Seattle when they won the Super Bowl. Was that 12 when they won the Super Bowl, I believe?
Right in there.
So I don't know if he was two-thirds the way through his career then, but certainly he was a big part of them winning that Super Bowl.
He was definitely, yeah, I mean, that's a good example and a more modern example of a guy who had been in the league for a while. Yeah, I mean, he was a rookie in 07, so I guess was it 10, 11? Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, he had a longer career, you know, so two-thirds of a career for him is actually a few years. But, yeah, look, there aren't a ton of examples, of course. But, like, I think Dalvin Cook right now, I mean, and somebody's going to get him on the cheap. That's a nice ad. He's still a really good player.
Well, there was a lot of smoke to when he got cut by the Vikings. It was he's going to join the Dolphins. And, I mean, you think about a cheaper Dalvin Cook, Tua, and then Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill with that defense that they now assembled on the other side. I mean, it'd be pretty good offense to watch out there. If Tua could stay healthy, which is a big F heading in this year, but that'd be a lot of fun to watch. A Tua, Dalvin Cook, Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle-led offense. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, I'm in on that, no doubt. Yeah, Josh brings up a good point. Different, but DeMarco Murray here. DeMarco Murray here was a really important pickup. You know, as important as it was to, like, bring in Ben Jones and to, draft Conklin, all that stuff. I mean, DeMarco Murray brought, like, a professionalism. And also, by the way, he was probably the best back in the league before he got hurt that year in 2016. And he'd been in the league, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
So how did we not think of that? Thank you, Josh.
Right, but he never led the Titans on, like, some deep playoff run.
No, that's true. He got them to – I mean, he helped them get to the playoffs the next year, but of course he was hurt, and then Derrick Henry lit up the Chiefs.
He did. The New York Jets, Joe Rexroad, have been selected to be on Hard Knocks coming up this fall on HBO. So last year we were all treated to Dan Campbell and the marvelous Detroit Lions Hard Knocks. Now it will be the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson and all these guys that they've now acquired that either used to play for the Packers or Aaron Rodgers really likes. It's going to be interesting to see what the Hard Knocks looks like with the New York Jets this year.
I mean, I'd like this. I'm not going to like it as much as the Rex Ryan version of the Hard Knocks.
Well, there's that.
But it's interesting. Like, teams are just desperate to not be on this anymore.
Oh, they apparently hate it.
And the show has gotten so much weaker as part of it too, right?
Oh yeah.
Not only do they hate it, they now like don't cooperate with it. It's clear. Like, the cooperation is terrible. And so the content has gotten – it's almost time to kill the show.
It almost is, although I will say I did kind of enjoy the Lions one last year.
Yeah, I mean – yeah.
But we're taking a significant step down. Like, I really like Robert Saleh. I think he's a good coach. He's not Dan – like, he's boring. Like, he's not Dan Campbell.
That's the thing. You need a Rex Ryan.
Right.
You need a Dan Campbell did make it. That it was fun to watch him. You need honestly, like the Texans year, Vrabel stole some scenes. I mean, like, how did you get that many F-bombs in 9 seconds of footage? I don't know, but you did.
A mighty team that will not yield.
Maybe that's what it is. Like, we're never going to see one quite like the Lions again. That was the last hoorah of a good Hard Knocks. Like, what are they going to follow Aaron Rodgers into, like, some darkness retreat or
that's
ayahuasca circle?
Well, honestly, the reason I'm interested is that, like, I'm hoping that he'll decide that he wants to, like, you know, play along.
He likes the game.
You would think so, right? Yeah. Like, he likes attention. But also, I wonder, because he likes it on his terms.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I could see him being like, yeah, I'm not playing your reindeer games. I don't know. I hope not.
I mean, I'd be interested to follow Zach Wilson around a little bit. Never know what he might do up there in New York.
Yeah, I've seen some interesting memes and gifs about Zach Wilson on this that I will not share. Hey, real quick on the text line, Marcus Allen with the Chiefs, a good one. Otis Anderson with the Giants.
There you go.
JD and Brentwood, and thank you, Jeff, from our great example. One at all. Scott Norwood, wide right. Sorry, Bills fans, but you're talking about a guy who's been in the league a long time, and that's only 30 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by David Ubbin from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on all things college football, the Northwestern situation, SEC Media Days here in Nashville next week. We'll get into all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning, talking a little college football. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend David Ubbin from The Athletic. David, good morning, buddy. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. We got SEC Media Days coming up in Nashville next week. It's Joe Rex Road's favorite event of the entire year, David. He's looking forward to it a lot.
Oh. I know when I can get a chance to interview someone and get canned answers along with 20 other reporters beside me and 1,000 other reporters in the room, that's what journalism is. You know, that's when the true work gets done. That's when we get down to the nitty-gritty of who people really are and what they really think. And, you know, you don't get those opportunities every day. So who doesn't love SEC Media Day?
Ubbin has already like taunted me about the fact that he doesn't have to go
yes,
next week.
He's just holding it over your head.
I missed it last year because I was on paternity leave, and this year we're just not, you know, a bunch of our national people are not going to many media days unless you like live in the town. And I gotta say, let's go for 3 in a row next year.
3-peat. That's right. So, David, obviously a lot going on this week with Northwestern, with Pat Fitzgerald and the hazing allegations, and now Pat Fitzgerald has been fired, and we'll see what happens with the lawsuit that's coming after that. But what do you make of just this whole situation, how it's gone down, and how Northwestern's administration has handled this, going from a 2-week suspension to ultimately firing Pat Fitzgerald?
Well, I think ultimately, I was surprised that, you know, based on the details that came out over the weekend, you know, it's not surprising, I guess, that you see a 2-week suspension during the deadest time of the year, and the key sort of victim in all of this decides to speak out. Obviously, he's very frustrated that he felt like the school wasn't taking it very seriously. I think it's frustrating also that the school doesn't want to make this report public. You could redact names, you could redact, you know, any identifying information and still make it so people can see what the school actually found. Because there is this idea, two things. One, that there's just this one disgruntled person that wants to take everyone down when they sort of released enough details that, hey, you know, there were two people that complained. There's 11 people, I think, that corroborated that a lot of these facts were accurate. And so, you know, I think when you get there and you say, how do you get to the point where you have a 2-week suspension? That doesn't really make sense. And why does, you know, the president of the university talking to this kid all of a sudden, have such an impact on it? It doesn't really make sense, in terms of how you get there. But I think the initial punishment doesn't really make sense. Getting to the finish line, you know, that makes a little bit more sense to me, where you got to make a coaching change. This is something that, you know, hazing, you know, I remember hearing about this happening. Hazing is such a wide spectrum that we don't really know. When you say that word, that can be a lot of different things. But the details that we heard, I mean, that's about as dehumanizing and humiliating as it gets, and that's the kind of hazing, you know, even though it wasn't violent, that's the kind of hazing that probably needs to be out of the sport.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I was talking about this the other day, like I remember, you know, stories like this in the 90s, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying that Northwest is not an island, but it is still kind of jarring to see some of that stuff. But I agree, like it's just incredible to see, hey, let's do the news dump and a little dead period, little vacation to, no, you're fired with no new information. And then not taking questions from the players, and they botched it pretty badly. David, you and Max Olson had the story yesterday about the collective association. And this is, I believe, seven collectives, correct? Including Spire Sports Group, the Tennessee collective, that are trying to basically join forces here and try to, it's like everyone is trying to get some things, you know, get their arms around things and, you know, get some things formalized and all this stuff. But what is the impact of this move?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. I think the alliance has caused people to be very skeptical of any unofficial handshake deals in college sports. You know, there's still some scar tissue from that one for anybody who thought that was a real thing. But, you know, ultimately, I think it's just people trying to get together. There's, you know, I'm going to use the term that people have got to stop using with NIL. But, Wild Wild West, for better or worse, there is some truth to it. That there is a lot of lawlessness and not a lot of solutions and a lot of problems and not a lot of uniformity and not a lot of people working toward that. Well, these collectives are on the ground. They're dealing with this stuff every day. They see themselves as industry leaders and experts because this is the world that they live in. So who better to help work for some solutions and sort some uniformity? And that's kind of what they're looking to do. You know, among that is offering some clarity. You know, the first thing on their list is, hey, you know, the NCAA says their rules count, but we have all these weird state laws that are all over the place. This is one of the reasons why they're pushing for a federal law, which I don't think they're gonna get, but there's no uniformity. Well, okay, how do we operate within that? You know, giving collectives some answers is one of the things that they want to do. And then also, you know, having an agent certification process was another one of the goals that they want to do. That's something that I think everybody's pretty united on that. There's a lot of disagreement in this world about what people should do or what should be next. But the fact that, you know, Richard, if I was a college athlete and you wanted to be my agent, you could. You don't have to do anything. You say, hey, call them up. I'm your agent. Like, okay, well, that can be ripe for all kinds of problems and, you know, unprofessionalness and just a million different things that can go wrong. So they want to have some certification process, a registry. You know, I don't think that's about locking people out as much as just like, hey, let's make sure that we don't have, like, a lot of people taking advantage of them or any just guy that doesn't know what they're doing stepping in there. So that's kind of where they want to start. And then, of course, revenue sharing, what that looks like, I don't really know. You know, does that mean, hey, the schools are then, you know, allowed to donate, you know, $50 million every year of their revenue or whatever to the collective, and then that collective disperses the players. So it's not technically employees, but kind of, I don't know what that looks like. And that's, you know, they don't know what that looks like, but they want to work toward that because, like most people who have some common sense, the schools collecting there were five schools that made over $200 million in revenue last year, and there are 49 schools that made over $100 million, and the players get zero of that. That doesn't seem right. So I think they recognize that. And so what does that look like? You know, we'll see.
David Ubben from The Athletic with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. David, how intrigued are you by Deion Sanders and what this thing is going to look like in year one in Colorado?
Like most people, extremely. I mean, I'm pretty excited about the season. I think, you know, I don't know how good they will be, but they will be interesting. And I think just the fact that, you know, Deion himself is interesting enough, right? He's just a compelling personality. He sort of plays by his own rules. He's broken a lot of norms. And now you have this thing where he's trying to build a team in a way that literally no one has ever done before in the history of the sport. I think the numbers, when they started spring, you can break down this roster clip any way you want, but I think one of the best ways, when they started spring, they had 51 scholarship players from last year's team. They now have 10.
So, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's crazy. And so you go in, and I think you're going to have dozens of players from the portal that didn't participate in spring, and now you're going to try to build a team with them basically in one summer and a fall camp. I mean, that's crazy. So, you know, I think there's also an element of you see a lot of confidence out of Colorado. The, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard we coming in the last 9 months. Well, but you talk to coaches, every coach I've talked to is like, this is not going to work. This is going to be a disaster. Well, maybe, but like, I'm intrigued to see who's right. And, you know, Deion, for all Deion has done, you know, he hasn't had a lot of failure in his life. So whether you're going to prove everybody right, or deal with some pretty spectacular failure in a way that he hasn't. And I think both of those scenarios are compelling. So I think whatever happens in Boulder is going to be interesting. For me, just as a person who loves college football, I'm going to be there a lot. And then I think most college football fans will be paying attention.
I was just going to say, are you possibly moving to Boulder here? I know you're going to be a lot.
I think I will be in Boulder a lot this fall. I'll just say that. At least the first month, and then we'll see kind of beyond that. But I'll be there. I'm going there next month for camp for a few days, and it's going to be interesting.
David, who is the best quarterback in the SEC?
That's a good question. I'm going to go off the board here, and I'm going to say Devin Leary.
I like that. He's interesting.
I guess,
he is.
I think KJ Jefferson gets a lot of those votes, and I think he's experienced. I think there, you know, he's definitely put a lot of numbers up, and I think he could be a great player. But ultimately, you know, I think there's going to be some struggles there with the offense change. You know, Kendall Brown's out, Dan Enos back in. So I think that could be an issue. Will Rogers, you know, okay. Like, I think it would be, for me, it'd be between Devin Leary and Jaden Daniels.
No love for Joe Milton.
Michelle would love. Yeah, I know. Seriously, not one mention of Joe Milton.
I think Joe might get there. I think Joe, if I could bet on Joe Milton to be drafted higher than any other SEC quarterback, I probably would. But you got to prove it, you know. And I think the last time we really saw him, you know, with the keys to the car, you know, the Pitt game in 21 was probably the last time. And then, you know, I like what I saw in the bowl game against Clemson, but you don't get a month to prepare and you don't get to play Vandy every week. So we'll see. I think with Joe, certainly the potential is there. Anybody can see that. I think certainly, you know, if he puts it all together, he could be that number one guy at the end of the year. But can you avoid the clunkers? Can you have the game, or can you avoid having the game where you just can't quite connect on the deep ball? That's the big question, because I think if Joe Milton is playing at his apex every single week, Tennessee can win 10 or 11 games. But I think he's probably got a couple bad games in there. I think Tennessee probably wins closer to 8 or 9. And, you know, I think that's kind of where they're at. But I think Devin Leary, with the amount of talent they have around him, the running game, you know, you have Barron Brown, you have Dane Key. Most importantly, you get Liam Cohen back. They were really predictable last year under Rich Scangarello. So getting Liam Cohen back, I think, is huge for him, and that's a big reason why you're able to pull the best quarterback in the portal. Sleeper pick here, Connor Wegman, by the way.
I like it. David, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. We're disappointed we're not going to see you next week, but congratulations to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. David Uppen from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I think, what was it Joe Burrow says? Work in the darkness? Work in the darkness. Don't take the phone. Like, let's just, don't do the P.K. Subban, in which P.K. would put up his workout videos, and I had somebody from the Preds tell me that they were joking that that was the only working out that P.K. did, was the 30-second videos he put on Instagram. Don't do that. So I'm against it.
I mean, are you kidding me, dude?
What?
Like, this is, in the world of your nothing burgers, and I mean, you have built a nothing burger empire. I mean, this one doesn't even have lettuce in it, man.
She asked the question how I felt about it, and I said, I think it's
because
ridiculous.
You introduced this to the world. You decided, you know what? Let's do some segments on Will Levis's Instagram video. Like, everybody in sports today doesn't do stupid Instagram videos of their workouts.
A little snippet from Jared versus Joe yesterday. It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe, after that wonderful back and forth, the floor is yours.
You know, sometimes you know how this happens to be a lot, writing something or saying something, and then later you think back and you're like, man, I wish I would have. Like, I totally should have made, like, a keto burger joke.
Oh, that was,
like, this isn't even a keto burger.
Although
nothing burger.
I did enjoy the "this one doesn't even have lettuce on it" comment.
Yeah, that was okay.
It's pretty good.
It could have been better.
It could have been.
Well, I'm not going to rant about that. That was a nice taste of the world of Jared.
We are going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, that was fun. What I am going to rant about real fast here is, the conversation, let's go back to collectives, and I know there's some glazing over of everybody's eyes when we talk about NIL and collectives and stuff like this, but, like, this is truly, it really is amazing for people who don't know what's going on. Like, school administrators are going to legislators in their states and basically, like, saying, let's craft a bill like that looks like this, so that we can, like, have an advantage when it comes to NIL and collectives.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing that's crazy about it to me is, like, I mean, it's never been illegal for a booster to, like, some rich guy to give a college kid a car or money. You know what I mean? Like, that's never been illegal.
Right.
But then there's NCAA law. The NCAA is the schools, and I think I think so many people think about it like there's college sports, and then there's this big bad NCAA over here, and they're trying to tell us what to do. It's composed of the schools, it's member institutions, and they decide what their stupid rule book says.
Yes,
and my God, it used to be the biggest book in the history of books. Okay. And a lot of things have had to happen, and they've happened, and there's always going to be unintended consequences, but ultimately, you're in an organization, it does still exist, and you dictate the rules. So on one hand, it's like, okay, let's vote for this rule and this rule, that rule, okay. Like, you all have an input on it. And then I'm going to go around to my state legislator and say, let's do this law so that we can do – it's just incredible, like, the hypocrisy involved here, you know, with really, like, everybody. Again, like, it's never – like, a lot of NCAA rules that have led to violations, that have led to punishments, they have nothing to do with the law. It's not illegal to do any of that stuff. So now all of a sudden, like, it's...
we're going to get the law involved?
Yeah.
You must be stupider than you look. Stupider like a fox.
Nice. That Vinken would like that one. So it's just, again, the circular nature of this whole thing really is amazing to me. For example, so the NCAA recently, they put out the statement, you know, basically like, by the way, it doesn't matter if it's legal in your state, if you change your state law, you're still in the NCAA. These are still rules, dude. I'm sorry. So meanwhile, Ross Bjork, you know, the Texas A&M AD is like, well, we'll continue to communicate, but this is a quote from him, okay? Because Texas has like gone nuts, as of course they would. Texas, Oklahoma, states like this, they're doing everything they can to try to give, you know, their schools an edge. And one thing specifically the NCAA wrote is that, like, you can't give, like, you know, tickets and suites and stuff like that to incentivize donors to contribute to your collective.
Right.
Like, directly, like, hey, man, get to our collective here. Well, in Texas, there's a new law that says, yes, you can do that. Okay. Well, the NCAA is saying, well, no, because, like, we have this law, we have this rule that says you can't, so here it is. So this is what Ross Bjork told ESPN last month. He said, quote, the state law is going to govern how we do business. We'll continue to communicate with the NCAA on a variety of matters. But in terms of this, the state law will reign, you know, end quote. Again, it's just like, it's hilarious. Because, again, like, you know, Ross, you know, your school has a say. These rules are basically created by your school.
Right.
You help create them and craft them. You have – everybody has a faculty representative and everybody who has input on these things. And now – so it's your law, and you're like, but on the backside, I mean, it really is like having a nightclub, and then you just go rob yourself, you know? it's just, I mean, college sports is truly spectacularly, incredibly stupid. And also fantastic.
It is. It's why we love it. It's why we love it. And that that example at Texas A&M is just hilarious to me. We'll be in communication with the NCAA.
But, I mean, at the NCAA tournament, like we will use the NCAA cups that they give us. Yes. You know, they have the branding on them, and that's probably about it. Thank you.
So, what do you think the fallout is from all that? Like, what do you think happens here if either programs or some programs, like in the state of Texas, or like if Alabama passes some law that makes it easier for money to go into the NIL, like what do you think is the fallout from all this with the NCAA in mind?
Well, obviously the new president, they're talking, and I agree with, I mean, like the idea that there's going to be some federal, you know, overriding thing, I have a hard time buying that. I mean, it's going to come down to the question of, in this era of, look, as Tennessee continues to wait for its punishment,
yep,
of trying, you know, trying to be more reasonable with punishments, things like that, okay, do you still have any sort of, are you toothless, or can you still enforce anything? Can you still deter any behavior, right? I mean, the NCAA come out with this statement tells me that they still intend to try to enforce these rules, so we'll see. Good luck.
It's really fascinating to see what happens. College sports right now, I don't know if it's ever been more interesting than it is. And some people like hate what this has turned into, and I get it. I really do. But it's very fascinating from conference realignment to NIL to now people just trying to have their state legislature make up laws so they can get an advantage in NIL. It's great. I love it.
It's just amazing. But, you know, and some of the things like Ubin was talking about, like for example, I totally agree with, like, how about certified agents?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I mean, I think more and more that you can make it like pro sports, because it always has been.
I mean,
I think it's better, because there's so many people right now who are just trying to make a few bucks off some kids' backs.
I mean, the fact that Joe Milton have can no walk business up to being you in there and be like, Rex Road, you want to be my agent, and you could do it. It's kind of awesome.
You know I would, too.
I know you would. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 745. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL. He'll join us from 8 to 830. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.